Last Lord's Day, we were continuing our vitally important study concerning failing to obey the voice of God. And we noted King Saul's downfall began when he became impatient. And then he set aside God's law by offering the burnt offering sacrifice, which was only to be offered by an authorized priest. Yes, that was in 1 Samuel 13, 8 through 14. We noted that King Saul continued on his downfall as he became more and more self-willed. And that was in chapter 15. And so we studied about seven lessons which are to help us avoid the pitfalls and not have a shipwrecked faith, as Saul ended up doing just that. And so we want to continue our study this morning, as we'll pick up with lesson number 8, and we'll do that, Lord willing, in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. Yes, we're wanting to study God's Word in our Bible classes. We're wanting to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern, but also with a proper attitude, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we're always glad to answer Bible questions that you have. And we really appreciate the opportunity to set up Bible studies, to sit down and see what does the Word of God tell us we must do in order to please Him, of course. And your comments, positive or negative, they're welcome as well. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our study as we're looking at lessons to help us avoid the pitfalls that King Saul fell in and shipwrecked his faith. So, we'll pick up with number 8, and this would be envy produces moral decay. Note with me Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Saul's envy and jealousy of David consumed his thoughts to the point where he was pursuing David in order to do what? To take his life, to kill him. Saul's anger prevented him from being a good leader of Israel as the Lord's anointed. As we mentioned, he had such a great opportunity being the first king, earthly king. I want to emphasize that. God was their king first, and that's what they should have stayed with. But King Saul, as the first earthly king, had a wonderful opportunity to lead in the proper way by staying with God's commands. Now notice 1 Samuel chapter 18, 6 through 9. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Notice that difference. Thousands and 10,000s. And what happened? And Saul was very wroth. He became very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Well, what King Saul didn't realize was David was loyal to the Lord's anointed. He wasn't going to try to take away King Saul's leadership as king. No, he was going to be loyal, certainly as he was dedicated in serving God. But again, we're looking at the lesson here, how envy produces moral decay. And we need to note this. As you put envy and jealousy together, they're fed from the roots of what? Of selfishness. That's where it comes from. And this envy and jealousy that starts out from selfishness, it does not tolerate anything superior to itself. That's right. And envy is a work of the flesh. Notice Galatians 5:21. So we don't want to allow envy to decay our morals. Of course not. So that's a lesson that we all need. Now, lesson number 9. Man reaps what he sows. Galatians 6:7-8 bear this out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, what God says is going to happen. You can bank on it. It's going to be as God said it would be. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, excuse me, Saul suffered the consequences of his sins when God rejected him as the king of Israel back in 1 Samuel 15:23. He lost communication with God. Notice with me chapter 28, still in 1 Samuel, verses 5 and 6. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Sadly, what happened? Well, Saul sought the counsel from the witch of Endor. Remember that? And this woman, no doubt, was very surprised when Samuel actually spoke God's word to Saul. This is chapter 28, verses 7 through 20. And Samuel made it crystal clear as to the reason that Saul would be defeated in battle. As we note in verse 18, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. So you see, this witch was not with power to bring up the dead. And so she would have been shocked when Samuel started to speak, as Samuel was, of course, already having passed on. But God allowed him to speak from paradise what God wanted Saul to understand. What was the end of Saul's life? It was a tragic end as he committed suicide, 1 Samuel 31, 3 through 6. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So he committed suicide along with Saul. And so Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men, that same day together. You see the results of disobeying the voice of God? Yes, we reap what we sow. And so let's ask ourselves, are we sowing to the Spirit, which we should be, or are we sowing to the flesh? And we know what we're going to reap because God has told us we're going to reap everlasting life by sowing to the Spirit, but we're going to reap eternal damnation if we're sowing to the flesh and die lost in our sins. So that's very plain and easily understood, and no one should miss it. But one more lesson, let's note this, an additional lesson we might say, lesson number 10. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, God did not bring punishment immediately upon the Amalekites for several hundred years. As you go back to Exodus 17, yes, chapter 17, 8 through 16, notice those verses. And then let's go to 1 Samuel 15, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. That's what you learn from Exodus chapter 17. So, God remembered what they had done, but he gave them time. Yes, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. So, have we come to repentance and obeyed the gospel, or are we keeping God waiting? Why would we want to do that? Well, no one should, obviously, is the certainly the thing to be stated there. But now, as we've looked at 10 lessons, let's ask this question and perhaps spend several Lord's days in this study. Why do people fail to obey God? And before we begin to answer that vitally important question, it would be helpful for us to first give the definition of disobey. And I want us to look at the Webster's definition of 1828. Webster's 1828 dictionary, to me, is much better than the modern ones. Notice, disobey, to neglect or refuse to obey, to admit, omit, or refuse to do what is commanded, or to do what is forbid, to transgress, or violate an order or injunction. Refractory children disobey their parents. Men disobey their maker and the laws. And we all disobey the precepts of the gospel. Now, you won't find that in modern dictionaries today. The word is applicable both to the command and to the person commanding. Now, that's in brackets. You see what a good definition he gave of disobey. So, why did King Saul disobey the voice of God? Since Samuel the prophet spoke the word of the Lord unto Saul, obviously, ignorance of God's commands was not the problem. We need to rule that out. First and foremost, Saul had a choice to obey God's commands or to disobey God's commands. We all should see that. Sadly, tragically, he chose the latter, to disobey God's commands. Why? Because of his selfish desires. So, here's the question for all of us. How determined are we when it comes to obeying God's commands under the law of Christ? We're not under the law of Moses. we're under the law of Christ. So having learned from Saul's negative example of disobeying God, it should be of great benefit to all of us in studying the answer to this vitally, just very important question. Why do people fail to obey God? Number one, man's ability to choose. We have to start there because, as with Saul, God allows every accountable soul the choice of obeying or disobeying His commands. And since God is love, yes, 1 John 4:8, and love demands free moral agency for all of mankind. Thus, God gives every person the free will to choose to obey God's commands or to disobey God's commands, to obey His will or not to obey His will. And since every accountable soul, yes, has disobeyed the will of God and is in need of salvation, the choice of obeying the gospel is eternally important. Romans 1:16, we see that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Yes, in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as you study in chapter 6, 3 through 6, we contact the precious blood of Christ in the watery grave of baptism by being buried in that watery grave into His death. Note that. And we are to follow the form of doctrine in verses 16 through 18. Yes, we have free moral agency, which is necessary for man to have life. Who wants to be a puppet on a string? If we did not have the ability to choose, that's what we would be. Like robots, without life. And that's not what we want. Consider, all of us, this logical argument, and do so, let's do so with an open mind, which proves that God can allow evil and suffering to be present in the world and still be good, just, loving, and all-powerful. As the atheists claim that a good and all-powerful God would not allow evil and suffering to be in the world, but they're wrong. Because we can prove it by using a logical argument. The major premise is this. To have life as a free moral agent, man must have the ability to make his choices in life, which includes his choice of obeying or disobeying God's will. Minor premise. Man's ability to choose to obey or to disobey God's will enables him to do that which is evil. That's right. We have the right to do so if we choose to do so because God is love and allows us that choice. So what's our conclusion? To allow man to be a free moral agent, God must allow evil to exist in the world. Now that's something we can count on as being logical and proving the point. But let's go on. First of all, we noted man's ability to choose. Why do people fail to obey God? They choose to do so. But number two, man's lack of knowledge. The majority of all accountable people who have ever lived or ever will live fail to obey God's will because of a lack of knowledge of the truth. Sadly, many people, yes, here in the United States, are indifferent toward God and His Word. Romans 1:18-32 describes what's going on today just as if it was written for today. It applies, of course, to today because it's the Word of God. Now, one cannot have a proper view of God without knowledge of His nature, which is made known by studying His Word. And look at all these scriptures we could give. Jeremiah 5:4, Hosea 4, 1, verse 6, Mark 12, 24, 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, 2 Timothy 2, 15, John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, if Jesus says we can know the truth, we can know the truth. But we must continue in his word. So one cannot be a follower of Christ without first knowing the truth, and second, living in a continued obedience to the truth, which of course is the gospel of Christ. Be doers of the word and not listeners only, or hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James was inspired by the Holy Spirit writing that, James 1:22. When Jesus asked the Jewish religious leaders the question, "Have ye not read?" he was referring to the Old Testament scriptures, Matthew 12:3 and 5, 19:4, 22:31, Mark 12:10, so forth. Jesus knew whether these Jewish leaders had read the scriptures or not. And even if they had read the scriptures, which they were required to do, what was the problem? The problem was that they obviously did not respect God's word, since they had rejected Jesus as the Christ. And note, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in admonishing the young evangelist Timothy, made it very clear that without studying God's word, one cannot be approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We understand we're under the law of Christ. We study the Old Testament. We learn from it, as we've done in several lessons concerning King Saul. But we understand we're under the law of Christ. The New Testament is our authority for what we do in service to God. So, do we desire to please God? Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And since faith comes by hearing the word of God, one must hear and obey the truth to be pleasing to God. Romans 10:17. Yes, chapter 6, verse 17. "And therefore, ignorance of God's word will not be accepted on the day of judgment." Let's be sure we understand that. But let's go on now to answering our question, why does man or people fail to obey God? This would be the third answer. And we've studied so far man's ability to choose. Second, man's lack of knowledge of the truth. Number three, man's own lust, selfish desires, and pride. Yes, that's how Satan tempts us. He entices us to sin by utilizing our own lust. James 1:13-15. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But," notice, "every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." So, as man desires what God has forbidden, he may not endure sound doctrine. He may turn away from the truth. And this is because of his own lust. He's preferring to hear what? Fables from teachers who are ear ticklers rather than hearing the truth. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 deal with this. We better not be desiring ear ticklers as our teachers and preachers. Now, in the parable of the soils, which represents the four types of hearts, what do the thorns that choke out the word represent? Well, the answer in Luke 8:14 is simply this: cares, riches, and pleasure of this life, which is best conveyed with one word, that would be worldliness. And so we go back to the Garden of Eden. Because of Eve's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, desire to be a god, little g, that's the pride of life. Ye shall be as gods. Notice what Satan said to her. And having free will, what did she choose? She chose to disobey God. She took of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, as you see in Genesis 3:1-6. Yes, she understood that they were not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She understood that clearly. But you see, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And so he threw out these three avenues of temptation, which Eve succumbed. She just gave right in. And again, you shall not surely die is a lie that Satan said. And then he said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods. You're going to know good and evil, and so you become your own God. You don't need God, your creator. That's his point. So she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And thus they were dying immediately spiritually because of it. Cast out of paradise, and would die physically as well later. The source of sin lies within man as he gives in to the temptations that Satan uses: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Look at 1 John 2:16. You'll see them again. Study Matthew 4, where Jesus was tempted. Satan used the same three, even with Christ. And of course, that failed with Christ because he used the Word of God to overcome every temptation. And so can we. Eve, yet because of her pride, believed that she and Adam would no longer need God. Yes, they would become gods themselves. Verse 5 of Genesis 3. This is being self-centered, isn't it? And thinking highly of oneself is going to do what? Keep countless precious souls from humbling themselves and obeying the pure gospel of Christ. Look at Matthew 7:13-14. Few there be that find the way to heaven, but many go in thereat, the broad way which leads to where? To hell. And we better not be on that road. If we are, it's time to get off of it. Humble ourselves and submit to the gospel of Christ before it's everlasting too late. Yes, because of Eve's selfish desires, she believes Satan's lie. Well, we have to stop here. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, and we thank you so much for listening today.